to you live from Washington National Airport, where earlier this morning, Georgia Airlines Flight 531 departed on what was supposed to be a routine flight to Atlanta. The FAA has now confirmed that contact with the aircraft was lost just over 40 minutes into the journey, somewhere over the Atlantic. Officials have told us that search and rescue operations are already underway and that there's been no confirmation of a crash at this time. Georgia Airlines has yet to issue a formal statement, though airport sources say the airline's emergency response center has been activated. We'll continue monitoring the situation and bring you updates as they come in. Family members seeking information are being directed to contact the Georgia Airlines hotline at 1-715-911.
On the morning of May 14, 2018, Georgia Airlines Flight 531 departs Washington National Airport at 9:31 a.m., carrying 298 passengers and 12 crew members bound for Atlanta. The flight is expected to be a routine, two-hour trip through partially cloudy skies. By all accounts and records, the Boeing 777 passes all inspections, and the weather poses no significant threats. It is a standard morning in aviation. The aircraft is piloted by 48-year-old Carl Walker, an Air Force veteran with almost three decades of flight experience. Walker has just started with Georgia Airlines after flying previously for both American and United. During takeoff and the first half hour of the flight, communications between Flight 531 and air traffic control is routine. 531 confirms a smooth climb to cruising altitude and acknowledges standard handoffs between departure and en route controllers. Then, according to audio files and transcripts released by the FAA, at 10:05 a.m., Georgia Flight 531 makes its final radio communication. The transmission itself is captured by the FAA from the frequency used by ZDC, Washington Air Traffic Control Center. Captain Walker is speaking directly with Air Traffic Controller Kendra Morgan, who is handling the sector. The final transmission is initiated from Flight 531 and indicates electronic disturbances in the cockpit that are affecting instruments and controls. Captain Walker's tone and description of the situation do not seem to convey that the aircraft is in any immediate danger. ZDC then begins systematically attempting standard troubleshooting procedures, advising 531 through several routine checks and adjustments. For reasons unclear at the time, 531 never acknowledges any of these actions, and radio contact ceases abruptly at 10:05 a.m. ZDC immediately follows emergency protocols, repeatedly attempting to re-establish communication on the current frequency. After multiple unsuccessful attempts, they instruct Flight 531, without acknowledgement, to switch directly to an emergency communication frequency reserved for incidents like these. While this is happening, 531 remains visible on radar at Washington Center. Controllers track it closely after losing radio contact and observe a troubling maneuver. Flight 531 makes a sudden and unexpected leftward turn, sharply altering its original southwesterly course and veering instead east, directly toward the Atlantic. Despite this irregular change in direction, radar indicates no noticeable loss of altitude. ZDC tracks Flight 531 as it leaves mainland airspace, silently continuing its course offshore. Approximately 25 miles east, over open ocean, while still at cruising altitude of 35,000 feet, Flight 531 vanishes from radar.
Good evening. We're continuing coverage of Georgia Airlines Flight 531, which disappeared earlier today. While initial hopes pointed to a possible communication malfunction, officials have now confirmed that the aircraft's emergency beacon has not been activated and there remains no contact with the flight or its crew. Multiple government agencies, including the FAA, NTSB, and U.S. Coast Guard, are coordinating search and rescue efforts across a growing stretch of the Atlantic. Military aircraft have reportedly joined the search grid, and vessels in the region have been redirected to assist. Sources close to the investigation tell DCA News 5 that NORAD was briefed earlier this afternoon, though no explanation has been given for their involvement. When asked for comment, a Department of Defense spokesperson declined to elaborate, saying only that all appropriate agencies are being kept informed. As families gather at Georgia Airlines Support Center in Atlanta, frustration is mounting over the airline's continued silence. Nearly 9 hours after the aircraft vanished, no formal statement has been issued by Georgia Airlines CEO Jack DeLuca. We will continue to follow this developing story throughout the evening. Stay with us on DCA News.
Within minutes of Flight 531's disappearance, a multi-agency response is already unfolding behind the scenes. The FAA is feeding flight data to the NTSB, the Coast Guard is already scrambling aircraft, and the Navy is joining almost immediately after. The first few hours are critical in aviation search and rescue, and officials seem well aware of this pressure. From Joint Base Andrews and NAS Jacksonville, the Navy launches P-8 Poseidon long-range maritime patrol aircraft equipped with advanced sensors, designed specifically to cover broad expanses of ocean and pinpoint a target as small as debris or life rafts. The Coast Guard sends its fleet of HC-130 aircraft as well, dropping sonar buoys that ping the ocean's depths in search of underwater signals, anything that might indicate wreckage beneath the surface. Everything focuses first on that last known location. Radar data places Flight 531's disappearance roughly 25 nautical miles offshore, eastward from its intended southern course. A search perimeter is drawn around the coordinates, an expanding grid pattern laid down systematically by mission controllers. Within an hour, commercial vessels along the heavily traveled North Atlantic shipping lanes are being contacted by Coast Guard authorities, urgently rerouting them to sweep their path. Maritime logs indicate at least 7 freighters acknowledge the request and adjust their headings towards the search zone. But hours go by and nothing materializes. No floating debris, no smears of aviation fuel on the ocean surface, no emergency beacon signals, despite repeated sweeps. And at this point, the teams recalculate drift patterns, factoring in currents, wind conditions, and the passage of time. They expand the search outward. The Poseidons and C-130s now cover larger grids, throwing wider nets of sonar buoys into progressively broader circles. The search area soon stretches into the deeper waters of the Atlantic, where the ocean grows darker and colder. As night falls, the search continues relentlessly, illuminated only by aircraft searchlights piercing empty stretches of ocean. On shore, tensions rise. 14 hours after the disappearance, families are still gathered in makeshift waiting areas. Despite constant requests for information, neither Georgia Airlines nor the U.S. government release an official statement to clarify what has happened to Georgia Flight 531.
We're continuing our live coverage of the disappearance of Georgia Airlines Flight 531, and there have finally been two significant, if somewhat conflicting, developments tonight. Just over an hour ago, at approximately 1 a.m. Eastern Time, Georgia Airlines CEO Jack DeLuca appeared at a brief press conference in Atlanta, speaking to reporters for the first time since the aircraft vanished. DeLuca called the situation unprecedented, but emphasized the company's commitment to continued search efforts. Here's a clip from that statement.
While we understand how deeply unsettling this situation has become, I want to be clear. We remain hopeful. Based on the aircraft's last known trajectory, there is still a reasonable chance that Flight 531 can be recovered intact. We are working closely with federal authorities and will not stop until we have answers. Our thoughts remain with the families, and we continue to support them every step of the way.
Roughly 30 minutes later, however, a separate and notably different message came from Arlington, Virginia. this time from a National Transportation Safety Board spokesperson. In a late-night media briefing, NTSB press liaison Curtis Hale gave the most direct government comment to date on the flight's status. Here's part of that statement.
We have strong reason to believe that debris located roughly 90 nautical miles offshore may belong to Georgia Flight 531. At this time, we do not expect the aircraft to be intact and believe it is fully submerged. Recovery efforts are being coordinated in tandem with maritime and defense agencies, and we expect additional resources to arrive on site within hours.
These two statements, delivered within the same hour, appear to signal a growing rift between Georgia Airlines and federal authorities regarding what may have happened to Flight 531. DCA News 5 has reached out to both parties for clarification. For now, though, the search continues, and the question remains, what really happened in the skies over the Atlantic? We'll keep you updated.
By the afternoon, following the conflicting late-night announcements, neither Georgia Airlines nor the NTSB has offered any additional clarity. In the meantime, satellite trucks line the parking lot of Washington National. Reporters cycle through endless speculation, replaying the sparse official updates as search operations continue expanding across the Atlantic. Nearly two full days after Flight 531 has vanished, it is the Pentagon who finally steps out to offer a statement. Becky Darnold, a DOD official, stands at the podium, cautiously reading from prepared remarks. She offers a new report that debris has been recovered by Navy and Coast Guard assets that indeed belongs to Georgia Flight 531. Parts of luggage, clearly marked interior panels, and passenger passports have been discovered drifting on the waves. No physical debris or images of that debris are presented during the statement. It is clear officials are beginning to shape a narrative. A major mechanical malfunction was most likely the cause of Flight 531's disappearance. The DOD emphasizes repeatedly that the initial evidence, particularly the electronic anomaly reported by Captain Walker shortly before losing contact, strongly suggests some kind of catastrophic failure on board the aircraft. Both the government and Georgia Airlines pledged their cooperation in conducting a thorough investigation, promising to scrutinize maintenance records, flight data, and recovered debris to piece together precisely how an advanced Boeing 777 flown by an experienced crew could vanish so abruptly. The rest of the Pentagon's message is unequivocal. The U.S. government holds little hope for survivors. Flight 531 was submerged, they assert. In any chance that passengers or crew could have endured both crash and subsequent time at sea is virtually non-existent. Despite some quiet murmurs of skepticism, especially regarding passports found intact and floating at sea, the public seems largely ready to accept the Pentagon's explanation. After days of tension, people yearn for an answer to hold on to. The debris acts as tangible evidence, turning theories into concrete realities. News anchors fixate on official briefings rather than speculation. Families begin quietly mourning. The narrative holds steady, offering the grim closure that many desperately needed, for the next 36 hours at least.
We have a major development this morning in the ongoing investigation into the disappearance of Georgia Airlines Flight 531. Authorities in Pakistan have confirmed that the body of a flight attendant from the missing aircraft has been discovered at the port of Karachi, over 7,000 miles from the flight's last known location. The body, identified as 29-year-old Mariah Jones, was recovered by port workers late yesterday afternoon and transferred to the Jinnah Postgraduate Medical Center in Karachi. Pakistani officials state that the body showed no signs of decomposition or prolonged environmental exposure, raising immediate and troubling questions about how she could have arrived in Karachi in such a condition. In a joint statement issued just hours ago, U.S. forensic teams allowed to work alongside Pakistani pathologists confirmed the identity using dental records and personal medical data. However, the situation has quickly escalated into a diplomatic standoff. Pakistani authorities have declined to return the remains, stating they will conduct a full investigation into what they are calling highly irregular international circumstances. This comes 36 hours after the Pentagon's official statement, which attributed Flight 531's disappearance to mechanical failure and confirmed debris recovery in the North Atlantic. The discovery of Jones's body intact and in a location entirely incompatible with the known drift patterns raises stark inconsistencies in the narrative being presented. Neither Georgia Airlines nor the Department of Defense has issued a comment in response to the development. The NTSB has confirmed they are aware of the situation, but declined to elaborate on whether the Karachi discovery alters the course of their investigation. We will continue to track this story as it develops, but tonight's revelation reopens critical questions about what happened to Flight 531 and whether all 310 souls on board truly went down in the Atlantic. Please stay with us for further questions.
The Karachi discovery shatters the fragile narrative the authorities have managed to construct. Suddenly, mechanical failure doesn't quite capture the imagination but public hungry for answers. Within hours, social media latches on to the mystery, spinning theories faster than the authorities can refute. In the days that follow, Pakistan's government, invoking sovereignty and possible violations of international airspace, refused to return Dallas Jones' remains. They announced that their own independent investigation, citing unusual biological findings that neither U.S. officials nor Georgia Airlines could or would explain. The American public, already strained by days of confusing and contradictory statements, erupts. Wild speculation floods the media. Former military analysts hint at a classified operation gone wrong. Aviation experts speculate about a phantom aircraft interfering with Flight 531's route. Online forums resurrect Cold War-era conspiracies, warning of invisible weapons and mass abductions. Cable news anchors suddenly find themselves asking uncomfortable questions on air. How can a body turn up halfway around the world, pristine, unblemished, when the rest of the aircraft is supposedly lying at the bottom of the Atlantic?
Good evening. Breaking news tonight in the ongoing saga surrounding Georgia Airlines Flight 531. A hacker collective known as Zero Meridian claims to have infiltrated highly secure servers belonging to Georgia Airlines. They allege to have extracted previously unreleased audio recordings from Flight 531's cockpit. The recordings, which Zero Meridian posted to multiple encrypted forums and subsequently disseminated widely online, purportedly document a series of disturbing events on board Flight 531. The group's statement accompanying the release described their actions as a move towards transparency, criticizing what they called an ongoing cover-up by authorities. Both Georgia Airlines and U.S. government officials quickly responded, dismissing the leaked materials as highly sophisticated forgeries and condemning the hack as an irresponsible and dangerous interference with ongoing investigations. A joint statement from the FBI and the Department of Homeland Security confirmed that an investigation into the breach is now underway, with authorities actively working to trace the origins of the hack and dispel the authenticity of the released audio. Families of Flight 531's passengers are demanding answers, many publicly questioning the integrity of official accounts for the first time. We'll continue monitoring developments closely. As always, stay with DCA News 5 for accurate updates in this rapidly evolving story.
The release from Zero Meridian lands with the force of a bombshell. Almost immediately, public discourse erupts, driven by equal parts outrage, disbelief, and morbid fascination. The recordings, initially dismissed by both Georgia Airlines and the government authorities as forgeries, nevertheless seeps into the public consciousness, spreading faster than any official statement could contain. Within days, major news networks pivoted from cautious skepticism to breathless speculation, airing panel discussions featuring aviation experts, retired military officials, and forensic audio specialists, all debating legitimacy of the recordings. Despite vehement denials by officials, public trust fractures irreparably. Families who once mourned quietly now loudly demand new investigations. Protests intensify, filling streets and surrounding government buildings, holding signs emblazoned with calls for transparency. As the chaos swirls, our own investigation begins. In the segments that follow, we will critically analyze these recordings. We will approach them not with sensationalism, but with careful scrutiny, determining once and for all what really happened aboard Georgia Airlines Flight 531.
Georgia 531 Heavy, we're experiencing a minor issue with avionics. Stand by for details.
Georgia 531, roger. Go ahead with details.
We're showing intermittent faults across multiple systems. FMC rebooted on its own. Comms panel, briefly unresponsive. We're getting flickers on nav display. Stand by. Also lost TCAS for about 10 seconds, came back on its own. Everything else is cycling in and out, but not really in any way that I've seen before.
Copy that, 531. Confirm TCAS loss, FMC reboot, nav screen flicker, comms panel interruption. All restored at this time?
Negative. They're rotating. One goes out, comes back, another one follows. Feels like a sequence, no master caution, but...
Georgia 531, say again. We lost you mid-transmission. Georgia 531 headed, do you copy? Please repeat your last. Georgia 531, we are not receiving. Attempting alternate frequency. Please switch to emergency channel 134.750. Repeat, 134.750. If you copy, please switch now and confirm.
That was the last known transmission made over standard channels from Flight 531. What you just heard is exactly what was released to the public. The only fragment officials ever acknowledge existed. Pilots rarely report multiple simultaneous system failures in calm airspace. Even more rarely do these failures seem to follow rhythm, one that disables critical instruments one at a time in sequence. Among the systems mentioned, TCAS, the Traffic Collision Avoidance System, is a safety net. It watches the skies around an aircraft, using transponders to warn of potential mid-air collisions. When TCAS goes offline, even briefly, the aircraft is effectively flying blind to nearby traffic. The FMC, or Flight Management Computer, is the brain of the plane's navigation. It plots courses, adjusts speeds, and automates much of the pilot's workload. A spontaneous reboot mid-flight is rare and deeply concerning. At this time, there doesn't seem to be any panic in Captain Walker's voice, just confusion, as if he's watching something unfold that doesn't make sense, and then, nothing. From this moment forward, every action ZDC takes is done without confirmation. We are to assume that at some point after this communication, the aircraft is no longer visible on radar. Protocol dictates that when a plane becomes unresponsive or exhibits technical anomalies, controllers instruct the crew to switch to a discrete emergency frequency, one with less traffic. And in this case, it marked the beginning of a far more disturbing chapter. The next recording, never meant for public release, begins with the ZDC trying to locate the aircraft again, only to learn it's no longer where it should be.
United 1587, Washington Center, how copy?
Reading you 5x5, ZDC, go ahead.
United 1587, we're attempting to reestablish contact with another aircraft. Give a visual any traffic off your 11 o'clock, approximately 20 miles out, level at 350.
Stand by. CDC, we've got a visual on a heavy. Looks like a 777. Hard to tell from this distance. It's definitely not squawking on our TCAS.
Copy 1587. Can you describe its heading?
Affirmative. It's flying northeast away from the coastline. Smooth trajectory, steady altitude, straight over the water.
Understood at 1587. Can you identify any marks or tail number for me?
Negative, ZDC. They're not running standard beacons, strobes, nothing. No contrails, no nav lights, and it's moving fast. I mean, really fast. Doesn't look like cruise. Just visual, no radar return here either.
United 1587, maintain current heading. Continue to observe as safely possible, but do not divert. We're handling from our side.
Understood, ZDC. Just for clarity, you said you have no radar in that aircraft.
Intermittent at best. You're the only eyes we've got.
Jesus Christ, he's banking hard right. He's almost completely sideways, but he's climbing. He's climbing at the angle. I don't understand how the aircraft's even stable like that. He's basically like knife's edge right now. He's gonna be inverted any second.
United 1587, confirm your observation. You're seeing the aircraft in a steep bank while gaining altitude.
Affirmative, ZDC. He disappeared into the cloud cover, but we lost visual contact. But what we just saw, it should even be possible.
United 1587, do not alter your heading or your altitude. Repeat, do not attempt to follow. Maintain your present course and advise immediately if you regain visual contact.
After hearing the second recording, a few unsettling questions immediately come to mind. United 1587's account clearly indicates that Georgia Airlines Flight 531 inexplicably was headed northeast out towards the open Atlantic Ocean, directly away from its intended route to Atlanta. This stark deviation alone warrants serious consideration. For an aircraft like a Boeing 777 to deviate from its planned route, several standard scenarios come to mind. Severe weather, technical malfunctions, or a serious onboard emergency. However, weather conditions on May 14th were clear. Partially cloudy skies, no storms or turbulence in the vicinity. The standard triggers for altering course, particularly such as an abrupt turn towards the ocean, simply weren't present. Even more troubling is the nature of the aircraft's movements described by United 1587. The visual testimony suggests the plane entered into an extreme banking maneuver, nearly sideways, yet somehow managing to gain altitude at an angle typically impossible to sustain for a passenger jet. Aircraft banking steeply or becoming inverted usually indicates catastrophic loss of control or serious mechanical issues. Scenarios that inevitably lead to immediate altitude loss or even structural failure. But Georgia Flight 531 not only sustained its altitude, it ascended. What could cause such an unprecedented maneuver? Pilot errors unlikely given Captain Carl Walker's extensive experience and training. Mechanical failure usually leads to rapid descent or loss of control, not precision climbing. Aerodynamically, the behavior described by the United pilot defies conventional physics for an aircraft of this size and build. The reality is, according to available aviation records and expert testimonies, no conventional scenario can fully explain what we hear. Yet, as troubling as these events seem, what comes next only adds another layer of complexity and confusion. Approximately 7 minutes later, air traffic controllers re-establish contact with Flight 531.
Georgia 531, this is Washington Center. Do you copy? We've re-established radar contact.
BDC, Georgia 531, we're reading.
Georgia 531, we need you to initiate an immediate course correction. Your current trajectory is taking you further over the Atlantic. Request immediate bearing change to 270. 270.
Copy that, ZDC. Attempting course correction to 270, but we're experiencing some resistance in the controls. We've also got voice commands coming through the cockpit speakers. We don't know where they're coming from. No one on the flight deck is transmitting, and there's nothing in our system showing the input source. They're actually getting threaded through the cabin as well.
Say again, Georgia 531. You said you're getting voice commands into the cockpit?
Affirmative, ZDC. We'll try to get it for you here. Take a listen.
Throttle down. Throttle down. Maintain current. Heading. Descend 290. Throttle down. Throttle down.
That's not coming from us, CDC. It started about 5 minutes ago. It's intermittent. No source we can identify. The passengers are... The crew is trying to calm everyone down. My co-pilot confirms all our systems show that the commands aren't being generated by any onboard equipment.
Georgia 531, copy. We're not showing any aircraft transmitting on your frequency. Are you able to maintain current altitude?
Affirmative on altitude, but the turning is difficult. It's like something's fighting the controls.
Georgia 531, we recommend immediate emergency landing. Norfolk International is your closest viable option. Can you alter course for Norfolk?
See that, we'll try. Control is responding normally again. We can make Norfolk. Can you give me coordinates and approach vector?
Roger, Georgia 531. Transmitting approach for Norfolk now. Turn to heading 280, descend to 25,000. We're clearing all traffic from your path. We'll have emergency services standing by Norfolk. ETA is approximately 14 minutes at your current speed.
Copy, turning to 280. These commands are still coming in, and they're getting more specific. Is there any military activity in the area that we need to know about?
Negative, Georgia 531. No military exercises or restricted operations in your vicinity. Continue your approach to Norfolk. We're staying with you.
Copy, ZDC. Norfolk approach, heading 280.
The third recording represents the moment where Flight 531's situation transitions from concerning to something far more disturbing. The mysterious voice heard through the cabin speakers has no precedent in commercial aviation history. Technical experts have confirmed the modern aircraft communication systems are designed with multiple redundancies specifically to prevent unauthorized access. The Boeing 777 in particular uses an isolated internal network for its critical systems. There simply isn't supposed to be a way for any external commands to be piped in to override pilot instructions. What's most disturbing is Captain Walker's description of physical resistance in the controls. Commercial aircraft use hydraulic systems for flight controls, not electronic ones that could be remotely accessed. For the controls to physically resist pilot input suggests either catastrophic mechanical failure or something interfering with the aircraft at a level beyond our current understanding. The decision to divert to Norfolk International was possibly the only unexpected event from this recording. At their position in altitude, Norfolk represented the closest viable runway with emergency response capabilities.
The fact that Flight 531 acknowledged the instructions and began the turn is crucial. It confirms that, at least momentarily, the pilots regained control of their aircraft. What strikes me as profoundly troubling is the ZDC's controller's choice not to mention United 1587's observation of Flight 531's physically impossible maneuvers. Not once during this exchange does she reference the extreme banking, the adverted climb, or the aircraft's unusual trajectory that another commercial pilot had witnessed and reported just minutes earlier. Instead, she focuses only on redirecting the plane to safety. This deliberate omission could be interpreted in several ways. Perhaps she was following protocol to avoid causing further panic in an already destabilized cockpit. Or maybe she was under directives not to acknowledge what United 1587 had seen. Either way, this information gap, what was observed versus what was communicated, represents a critical inconsistency in the official record. For 8 minutes after this exchange, Flight 531 supposedly maintained its course towards Norfolk International. Then, at 10:20 a.m., just as Norfolk emergency crews were being positioned for the incoming aircraft, ZDC makes another transmission.
This is Washington Center. We're showing that you've deviated from the Norfolk approach vector. Your current trajectory indicates that you're heading further east over the Atlantic. Please confirm your status and position. Georgia 531, do you copy? You're now 45 miles off the Norfolk approach path. Please respond.
Georgia 531, we attempted the course correction, but there's something seizing the controls again. More resistance than before. We're trying to compensate, but something's overriding our inputs.
Copy that, Georgia 531. What's your current situation? Do you still have partial control of the aircraft?
Affirmative on partial control. We can adjust altitude, but direction control is compromised. But that's not our primary concern right now. My co-pilot went to check on the cabin situation, and there's something happening with the passengers.
Georgia 531, say again, what's happening with the passengers?
They're moving in unison, all of them, at least two-thirds of the passengers and most of the cabin crew. My co-pilot reported that they're making identical gestures at the same time, like they're synchronized. No verbal communication between them. Some are standing in the aisles, others are still seated, but they're all doing the same movements.
Coach 531, can you verify cabin pressure readings?
Negative on pressure issues. All environmental systems read normal. I just looked at the viewing port, and they're still doing all those movements. These movements aren't natural at all.
Georgia 531, we're alerting all available military assets to your position. Can you attempt emergency procedures to regain full control of the aircraft?
We're trying everything. Nothing's responding correctly.
Georgia 531, who's currently in the cockpit with you?
It's just me now. My co-pilot never made it back. I've locked down the cockpit. He started making those same movements right in front of the door. They formed a lot of lines in the aisles, all of them. They're standing perfectly still now, all facing the windows on the port side. It's completely silent out there now.
Georgia 531, maintaining cockpit security is paramount. Continue attempts to redirect to Norfolk. This is your priority. Repeat, secure the flight deck and correct course to Norfolk International.
When Zero Meridian first released these recordings, the immediate response from both Georgia Airlines and government officials was predictable. Vehement denial, dismissal as sophisticated forgeries, and threats of legal action. But in the weeks that followed, as audio engineers and aviation experts began methodically examining the recordings, a new narrative emerged from more reasonable corners. This wasn't about unknown aircraft or impossible maneuvers, they insisted. This was about something far more mundane, human psychology under extreme stress. Dr. Eleanor Patel, former head of aviation psychology at the FAA, became the unofficial spokesperson for what would become known as the Walker Breakdown Theory. Dr. Patel would end up going on what essentially became a media tour, speaking on TV segments and various podcasts. The following is a quote from Dr. Patel's appearance on 60 Minutes.
What we're hearing in these recordings isn't evidence of external interference or supernatural phenomena. It's the real-time psychological deterioration of a pilot experiencing acute stress-induced psychosis. These episodes can manifest as vivid hallucinations that the sufferer believes are absolutely real. Captain Walker was likely experiencing hypoxia without realizing it, which would explain the bizarre descriptions and increasingly paranoid interpretations.
This theory from Dr. Patel gained significant traction. Medical journalists published speculative articles about undiagnosed conditions that could have affected Walker. Aviation forums debated whether Georgia Airlines' screening procedures were sufficient. Cable news panels featured psychological experts who had never met Walker, yet confidently diagnosed him with everything from schizophrenia to carbon monoxide poisoning. The narrative was convenient for everyone involved. For the airline, it shifted blame from their aircraft to an individual. For the government, it eliminated any need to explain the contradictory evidence. For a public desperate for closure, it offered a tragic but comprehensible explanation. But the theory had several fundamental problems. It didn't address the technical anomalies reported before Walker's descriptions of passengers' behavior. The selective electronic failures documented in the first recording couldn't be explained by a psychological break. United 1587's visual confirmation of Georgia Flight 531's impossible maneuvers couldn't be attributed to mass hallucination. And most damning of all, the body of Dallas Jones in Pakistan couldn't be explained by any scenario involving pilot error or mental health crisis. As the theories multiplied, the families of Flight 531's passengers and crew found themselves caught in an impossible situation, torn between the official explanations that didn't add up and alternative theories that seemed too fantastical to believe. The only certainty was that something had happened to Flight 531 that defied conventional explanation, something that continued to haunt the collective consciousness. For several weeks, Recording 4 was considered the final piece of evidence in the Zero Meridian leak. Many believed it represented the last moments before whatever catastrophic event had claimed Flight 531. The mental image of passengers standing in perfect unison, facing the windows, became an eerie fixture in media coverage and online discussions. Then, without warning or explanation, Zero Meridian released one final recording, posted with the simple caption, "The truth cannot remain hidden." What you're about to hear represents the final documented moments of Georgia Airlines Flight 531 and challenges everything we thought we knew about that fateful day.
Washington Center, I've got something alongside us right now. I don't know what it is, but it's not like anything I've ever seen before. It's got no visible engines, no markings. It's flying side by side, maybe 30 feet from us.
Georgia 531, descend immediately to flight level 250. Military interceptors are en route to your position. ETA is 5 minutes.
Copy. Attempting descent to 250. It's attached itself to our starboard side. Jesus, it's trying to breach us. I can hear scraping metal against metal.
Georgia 531, Roger, 531. Confirm you said it's attached to your aircraft.
Affirmative, starboard wing. There's some kind of clamp or appendage. It's drilling into the wing structure. I've lost hydraulic pressure on the right side.
531, military aircraft are almost to your position. Continue evasive actions if possible. We need you to stay calm.
Oh God, passengers are jumping. They're opening the emergency exits and just jumping. I can see bodies falling, Jesus Christ.
531, fires are ready to engage on a visual. I need you to maintain your current course if you can.
There's another device being attached. That's some kind of cable or tether. Oh God, there's things moving out there. They're crossing our wing. They're cutting through the hole. Cockpit pressure is falling. Oxygen mask deploying. Cabin depressurization is rapid. I'm not going to be able to hold it steady much longer.
Captain Walker, stay with us.
They're inside.
Reporting live from Lafayette Square in Washington, D.C., where we're witnessing what can only be described as unprecedented aerial activity across the Capitol skyline. I don't even know how to properly convey what we're seeing. There are literally hundreds of unidentified aircraft suspended over the National Mall. They appeared approximately 40 minutes ago, emerging from what witnesses described as tears in the sky. Military jets that attempted to approach have gone silent. We're receiving similar reports from across the globe. Our international correspondents confirm massive formations over Tehran, Karachi, Beijing, and at least 17 other major cities. The objects are maintaining identical patterns everywhere they've appeared. Just moments ago, we received confirmation that all commercial flights worldwide have gone missing. Throughout the city, we're seeing groups of civilians standing perfectly still, all facing skyward, making identical gestures in unison. Medical authorities have no explanation for this synchronous behavior. It's as if they're responding to some signal the rest of us can't perceive. It appears from our position that several of these objects have begun some kind of docking procedure. They're attaching to buildings throughout the Capitol. There are figures moving across their surfaces. We will maintain coverage as long as we can, but a recent statement from the president is urging all citizens to seek shelter. God help us all.